John. How we doing?
Good. I'm bringing the microphone closer. We're a few weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
We're back though.
Yeah.
Would you say that we're back?
Yeah. I've never felt more back.
Good. Would you like to talk to us about your world travels?
I went to India. I got sick. I got better. I did the Holi festival. I was covered in colored powder. I got to fly back internationally with a red face.
And that's not just from the embarrassment.
No. Although it was the cause of some embarrassment.
Sure. You had a red face under your red face. Yeah.
I did the thing where, I picked my seats really well. Like, I did the thing where, like, I didn't spend any money to upgrade, but I did get the best seats in economy every step of the way.
That's great.
You know? And I forgot that I had done that. So each plane I got on, I was surprised by how great seat was.
That's the best feeling.
I was like, oh, man, I love me.
This is one of the great new scams is the, even when you're taking a little short domestic flight, if you do like American Airlines, they'll make it seem, they'll get to the place where they go, oh, well, thank you for paying for your ticket. Now, would you like to pick your seat? Mm-hmm. And if you pick your seat, they're like, okay, well, that'll be $21, please.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're going to give me a seat. You're just, I'm supposed to pay $21 for the luxury of picking my seat.
Anyway, it was great, and I actually enjoyed the travel, and I slept well most of it.
Terrific.
And it was all good. Laracon India is great and crazy. A lot of hype, a lot of energy over there.
Was Taylor there? I always love that video of them. Taylor being hoisted up by the crowd.
I think Taylor had important Arkansas business to attend to.
I see.
Many of his emissaries were there.
Good.
So got to kick it with the homies. It's funny, like, I feel like I've like formed like a new little tight crew of people who I keep seeing at Laracons. So
the
it's gang. Like me and Jess and James and Joe and Rissa and all these people who I keep seeing at like every Laracon. I'm like, all right, this is the crew.
Yeah.
It's the homies.
And we had
Joe Tenenbaum did his first talk and fucking crushed it.
He's the best. What was his talk about?
His terminal UI stuff.
The terminal stuff. It's so cool.
So cool.
Yeah, and as you know, Joe ran the PHP NYC meetup. Just a sweetheart, a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that's like, it matters who's running a thing like that, you know? Because when I heard there's a meetup, I was like, great, but I didn't know Joe. And I got there and he was just sort of like lighthearted, bouncing around, taking care of stuff, getting bags of ice. So actually Chris got the bags of ice, but just sort of like, you know, he's just like, and I was like, oh, this is the right guy for this job. Like, this is going to be a good event. Cause he's the one doing it, you know?
Yeah. No, he's chipper. He's funny, which is one of my hard requirements for anyone.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta be funny. If you're not funny, just get lost.
We've talked about this before. This is a unified theory for a lot of stuff that I didn't realize until the last few years, but I don't like anything that's not funny. I don't like music that isn't funny, you know? Like,
I don't like anyone who's not funny. I don't like anything that's not funny. Yeah.
Well, it was like, it took me a long time to put my finger on, I was like, you know, like a show like Westworld, it's like, it's like clearly objectively like a pretty good show, but it just didn't sit right. And I was talking to my good friend who's like, oh, well, it's humorless. I was like, oh, I don't like a humorless TV show, you know?
Gotta be humorful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Some might even say humorous.
I wouldn't. Yeah. Couldn't be me.
It couldn't be me. Well, what else got going on? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that is one of our hard requirements for working at Thunk is you have to be funny.
It is. Well, we're writing up, this is something we could talk about today. We're writing up some documentation of like some marketing materials. And whenever I write out like, why would you work with us and not other agencies? I'm always like, well, we're really good. We're small. So you have our full attention. Everyone here is really product minded. Like there's obvious, like clear pitches there. And the last thing I always put on the list is like, we're pretty funny and we're fun to work with. Like, on Monday morning, you have to get on the phone with somebody. And like, it's honestly more fun to get on the phone with us than it is with a lot of other people.
Yeah. Dude, can you imagine just waking up on Monday morning and getting on a call with just like an absolute wretched, humorless asshole?
Yeah. I mean, I've done it at some of my jobs.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so we could talk about the thing we were writing up a little bit. That'd be interesting.
Do you want to introduce the concept?
Yeah, okay. So I introduced it a little bit on No Plans to Merge, but I think it's evolved a little bit. I gave it a weird name on No Plans to Merge called Cohort 2. Yeah.
I gave you some feedback on that.
You gave me some feedback, and it's not funny.
It's not funny. Humorless. Did you ever see it's a clip of John Mulaney talking about what it was like to write at SNL the week that Mick Jagger was the host, and he'd pitch a sketch idea, and Mick Jagger would turn to the other side of the room and point and go, "Not funny."
That's funny. Yeah. Mick Jagger knows funny. That's funny. So I was calling it Cohort 2.
Yeah.
But basically the pitch is like, we want two big projects for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's going to be like literally the thing at the top of the landing page is two big projects for the next 6 months. And basically the idea is like, we're in this place where like, we know when some things are wrapping up. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, we have like a sense of timeline of like when we need to land some work. But it's not like tomorrow, you know?
Right.
So like, we're not completely under the gun where like we need to sign just anything that walks in the door.
Yeah.
And so we're basically like looking to sign some work that is like straight down the middle of like our core competencies and the things like we're the best at.
Which
and
we now like, have a much better sense of too, of like, what those things are.
And like, we know what they are because we've just done a few of them and like done really good jobs on them. And so like, we can easily get like testimonials and stuff from people about this exact type of work.
Yes.
And so like, the three big pitches are like really complicated live wire projects, MVPs that need to build incredibly fast, and sort of like complex process-driven applications.
Yeah. Gnarly, so, like a gnarly business problems that has to be modeled out on the back end.
Right. And it's like, it's very like something's going through a bunch of processes. So like an order going through a bunch of stages or an invoice going through a bunch of stages.
Yeah.
We've built invoicing like half a dozen times this year and we're going to keep doing it.
Queues, statuses, all the kinds of stuff that you bring up a lot when you're illustrating the need for verbs like that kind of stuff is like we're particularly good at. I think it also ties into, because I think you're already really good at it naturally, but then it ties into like, to do something like that in a way that's not insane, you also have to do the product-minded stuff where like,
yes,
you need to sit down and it's like, okay, close your code editor and let's talk for like 2 hours about just like, how does this thing work in real life? Mm-hmm. And you need to like really get that and internalize it, map it out before you start writing code.
Yeah, I think both the big process-driven apps and the MVPs are things that like we're noticeably better at than other people because we have like a strong product focus.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, well, we're not going to uncritically take your list of tickets and just do them stupidly. Right? Like,
you're paying, we're smart. In fact, you're paying us not to do that. Like, you're paying us to come in and be like, hold on, can we like take a closer look at this thing?
Yeah. And that leads to us doing things like really fast, really well, right? And so like, one of the examples I'm talking about is like, you know, this project where we were given a 10-week leash to build this MVP. We built it in 3 weeks. We got to spend the next 7 weeks just like building nice to haves and making the UI nicer.
Right.
Then they re-signed us.
They keep on re-signing us because we're like, well, we can build really great features on top of this fast because like we built such a good foundation.
Yeah. And it was nice too because like there was like another party that was involved and like they were, you know, it was taking a while for them to be ready to launch, but like we were ready on the third week, so we just got to like be there and it was like, well, we need you guys to be here at launch, so like in the meantime, like keep building things. Mm-hmm. And we just kept building great stuff and they're super happy with us.
Yeah.
So that's going to be like a great testimonial.
Yeah. And then the on the LiveWire part of it, the thing that I wrote in there, which I think is like, we should just be, I mean, it sounds a little brazen, but like, tell me if you disagree with this, like between you and Josh and the fact that we can push stuff into make pull requests to Livewire fast, and we have a direct line to Caleb, it's reasonable to say we are the best Livewire team in the available, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, it's I don't know.
Like,
I don't know who you're gonna hire. I mean, theoretically, someone could build a team with like Philo and Jason Beggs and like everyone else who's like close to Livewire.
Right.
I think if you like constructed that team like Transformers like or Power Rangers like, you could theoretically build a better Livewire team than us. But like, we have actually assembled a team, yeah. And like, I think we're very good.
Yeah.
You know.
So like, that's the part. Like, I'm like, I don't even have that much more to say. It's like, you need Livewire work done. There's no one. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's certainly really good Livewire devs out there, but like, if you want a team who's going to like work through a project over a period of time, it's like, this is it.
Yeah. And especially like if you're, you know, if this is something, there's plenty of people out there who are like, I want to use Livewire for this thing. I think Livewire is up to the challenge. I think it's like mature enough and serious enough for me to use it in my big serious business application. But I want that little extra bit of assurance of like having some like real deal connection to the framework. And I think we can provide that. Yeah. You know?
And also, I think one of the great things that Josh provides that I think now, like it's, you know, Josh has kind of shared his best practices and opinions with us. And now you've done this at a couple of different places with Josh and without Josh, is like confidence that you're hiring us to build in best practices for like a thing that can scale to a large, complex application with tons of views is like, you could easily build some like sexy Livewire stuff that like doesn't use shared components and becomes like a nightmare to maintain. It would be very easy to do that, I think. And we know how to not do that.
Yeah. And I think on the verb side also, it's like, you know, those complex business applications, like we're really good at those because we've built a lot of them. We built verbs because we've built a lot of them, right? And it's like, because we've solved skin this cat in as many ways as I can think of to skin it, like we're like, okay, I think this is a good solution for a lot of things. This is not a case of like, we have this hammer and we want to like throw it at your nail, whether or not, you know, whether or not it needs it. It's like, well, no, we have a lot of experience building complex sort of process-driven business apps.
Yeah.
And like Verbs is a tool in our toolkit and it wasn't one that existed, so we built it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, we have a pretty deep understanding of that problem. So anyway, all this to say, we're writing a landing page. It's a little bit manifesto-y. It's a little bit like, here's what we want. Here's like what the next phase of Thunk ideally looks like, is like us taking a couple big projects that fall into these buckets and like just like running with you, you know?
Okay, so here's my feedback still on how we write this thing. And maybe this is not interesting podcast content at all, but
no, I think it is. It's like marketing.
Because I also want to ask like other marketing people about this. Maybe this is a chance for a mentor.
Sure. Speaking of mentors, Claremont weighed in via Telegram and said he loves it. So,
oh, great, perfect.
Put that check in my column.
Okay, great. my only feedback. I think this is great. I think it's good for us to think through. We're writing good marketing content. It's like, it's going to be a sexy landing page. All good.
Landing page.
It's a landing page. my one Flappy piece of bird. Feedback on it is that the like copy that you suggest and this whole idea of like branding it initially, I know you're moving past the whole idea like cohort two thing, is that the copy that you've kind of talked about and this whole idea of like naming it cohort two is like, it's very us focused. And if I'm somebody who is going to visit this page and I have one of these gnarly projects that I want to go hire someone for, like, what do I care? I go to some landing page and it's like all the copy is about like, we, the developers, are looking for a big new six, or we're looking for two new big projects. It's like, I don't really care what you guys are looking for. I just want to know, can you solve my problem? And so like, that's what feels weird to me, is to like have this, like, I totally get having a page that's like, here's what we're good at, here's the kinds of projects we want to have. That makes complete sense. But I think like branding it as like, we are on a search for like the best new problem to get. And it's like, you know, Thunk Cohort 2 trademark. It's like,
mm-hmm.
that feels like, it feels like self-important or something. That's like kind of like the messaging of it is like, we are very special boys who need two new projects. Whereas like, I think as a buyer, I just want to see like, we're a team who can solve your problems, period. You know?
Yeah. So I think the reasoning for like building the narrative and like making it like a storytelling exercise, basically, right? Telling you a story about us, right? Is I think it is more likely to get in front of a buyer if it's shareable, right? Like, I think we could make a page that's like our core competencies and no one will ever see it and it doesn't matter, right? So, like, I think we could make like a completely inoffensive, totally accessible like landing page that's like, here's what we're good at, here, you know, we're kick-ass rock star developers or whatever, and like I think it would be fine, but I think that like just from like a shareability and like something that like can get in front of people, like I don't think anyone's gonna share like, here's our new website landing page, but I think someone might share like, hey, we're looking for a very specific set of things. Here's what it is, you know? So that's kind of my theory, is that like it's a more interesting story and therefore it's more likely to get shared and more likely to get put in front of people. And so it's more likely to land in front of a buyer.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think this should be our homepage, you know? I think our homepage should be for like the buyer. The buyer comes across us and then like wants to see what we're about.
Yeah.
But this feels like it's targeted at a specific thing.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. I'm like totally down with the experiment, and I think it's it does capture like something of what we know what we're good at now, and we're able to communicate it really concisely. So like, I'm all for it. And I'm not the marketing guy. I don't know. Like, that's not what I know, really. That was just like my initial feedback is like, I just am imagining like, as a buyer landing on a page where it's like an agency is just sort of like talking about themselves, that I'm like, I don't know if that would resonate with me.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's a fine line between like confidence and arrogance here, right? Sure. And I think that is something we need to tread carefully, right? Like, I don't think the pitch should be like, man, you could be so lucky as to pay us a lot of money to solve your problem.
Sure.
Right. But I do think that like, you know, we are in a position where we like get to look for our favorite project right now. Like, and I would like to look for our favorite project.
Yes.
And so before we start like going around to everybody in the Laravel community hat in hand saying, please, sir, could I have some work?
Right.
I'd like to give a shot at, if we could land the most ideal project that is going to get the most value from us.
Yeah.
And is going to align best with like us pushing our thing in the direction we want it to go. First of all, as a buyer, I want my vendor to be invested in my project. Yes. Right. And so if I tell you like your project aligns perfectly with the direction I want my business to go, like I'm more likely to be invested in your project, you know?
Yes.
So I think that like, I think as a buyer, I would want to hire someone who is like heavily invested in this particular thing. Anyway, I don't know. We're going to try it. We're going to see if it works.
Yeah, maybe I'm stupid. Other thing is, do we need, so you were saying like, you want to make beautiful new landing page that is like very well designed and all the stuff.
A landing page with some typography on it, but yes.
Okay. So who, I assume you have much stronger opinions about that than I do.
Yeah.
Cool. So
I'll do it. It'll be out this week.
Okay. I'll work on the, when you say testimonials, are we talking about like case studies or actual like quotes from people?
I'm going to reach out to people for quotes.
Okay. Cool.
And be like, give me a quote. Let me put your name on a website.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm into it. I think it's good, and we can definitely share it around. Yeah, and like in terms of like where the business is and why this is nice, it's like we've like every month of it's not exactly a straight line, but it's like pretty much every month that Thunk has ever had, up to and including April, will be the biggest month Thunk has ever done. Like it's been like meaningful growth every month. And that part of what that means is that we've put a good amount of money away, which means that we can afford like we do the hat in hand moment where we're like we would have to have like several terrible months back to back before we have the hat in hand moment. And so it's really cool. We get to be a little choosy. I was talking to somebody yesterday who's like, how's business? And it's like, you know, we've already turned down two clients, which is really cool. One of them for ethical reasons, and one of them for like someone we talked about it on here, I think, but like someone came to us and was like, all the entire sales call was he was like, well, but how am I going to micromanage you guys? And after he like asked that question for the third time, you were like, yeah, it's not a fit. We're going to go. And it's like, it's a really cool feeling to get to do that. And I think if we had 15 employees, it would get really hard to do that. If you have investors, it's really hard to do that. But like,
Boy, do I love not having investors or 15
I know,
employees.
it's so great. And like this, like, I don't know. I was talking about it with this person and they were like, oh, is it like a tech startup? I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I don't work 70-hour weeks. I will not ever work 70-hour weeks. I owe $0 to anyone. I like don't have a boss. I don't we say no to clients we don't want to work with, and it means that we will maybe get rich a little slower. But like it's, you know, like my freedom, I have my freedom, and it's
And
incredible. Like I
we
have a
can do
whole
stuff.
life, and like we enjoy work, you know. It's like this is, yeah, it's kind of the dream.
I love it. Like I can't imagine running a business that wasn't profitable. It would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, just like running a business where it's like, oh yeah, someone gave us a bucket of money and we just need to like spend it slowly enough to find a way to make money.
Dude.
Dude, shoot me.
I know. I mean, we talk about this all the time. You talked about it with Caleb, but like just the old model of oh, money is really cheap, throw it around, operate at a loss, hire a bunch of smart people, light money on
Drive everyone
fire,
else out of
drive everyone else
business.
out of business, and then eventually one day piss everyone else off by like making your business into a thing that makes sense. It's like it's stupid and it's bad and it's like it's not, I don't, it's like it's fake. It's just like it's, I don't know.
The
I
other
can't
thing
stand it.
about it that I never like really thought about, but it's like once you've driven everyone else out of business and it's like time to turn the screws and become profitable, you have to become like so much more profitable
Yeah, right,
to
right, right.
make up
Yeah.
for all of the money you lost for 10 years getting here.
Yeah.
And then so then you're charging $90 to deliver Chinese food, you
Yeah,
know? It's like,
totally.
oh my God.
Did you have anything else? I was gonna, one thing we haven't done in a little while is like the talk about things we learned in retros.
Oh, dude, let's do it. Yeah, I love it. Dude, these retros have been awesome.
Yeah, we've talked about it on here, right? We how much like what we're doing there and how we why we like
I'm
it.
just like fully retro-pilled now.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's amazing.
Yeah. My next product talk, I wrote a blog post along these lines, but my next like the next time I give a talk, the next one I want to give is how like a really practical guide to how to do product minimalism or process minimalism, which is like if you can afford to do it, which at some places probably won't let you, see if you can basically strip down to the bare metal and just like do absolutely nothing. And then start, and the only meeting you have is the retro. And everything else you do is like a vine that grew out of the retro, which is basically what we have right now. And the funny thing is that Jacob and Josh and you and me at various points, but like the developers have basically ended up saying like, well, we would like one-on-one feedback sessions. We would like stand up. We would like a couple other meetings, which are like, odd different kinds of meetings than I've done at different places because we're meeting really specific needs. But now it's like...
Yeah, like the PM BOGO meeting or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, like we do...
Have we talked about that here?
Oh, no, we should talk about that. That was one of the things. So basically, we're testing this theory that, like, you know, our whole thing is all developers should think like PMs. And if that's true, then all of us should be thinking like PMs. And so I tried to give much more specific tasks to you and Jacob and Josh to basically be like, okay, here are accounts that we have where I'm not involved and you guys should do product stuff on them. So then Jacob and Josh and Daniel all have product tasks now. And I'm obviously doing a bunch of product stuff with my clients. And so then we wanted a chance to just kind of hang out and talk where people could bring questions or we could like review work that's going on. And so we have a meeting on Monday late afternoon, early evening, Eastern time, where basically we just talk about product for half an hour and whatever, like you guys were working on, you could be like, hey, here's what I worked on. Is this look good? And we had to talk about it or like, hey, here's a weird problem. I don't know how to solve. How would you do this? And then if once all kind of the questions have been answered, I just talk about what I was working on that week. And I was like, oh, here's a product thing. And we haven't talked about, here's what I was doing this week. And here's why it was hard. And we decided to open it up where I just sent out a tweet and was like, hey, if you want to hang out and talk about this stuff or just be a fly on the wall, because we have kind of an agenda, so we kind of need to drive it, but you can be, you're welcome to be there. We're not talking about anything confidential. You can come join us. So we had Len join us and we had Aaron Bells join us. And that was very fun. So if you're interested, hit me up on Twitter or whatever. We'll get you invited to one of them.
Yeah. We've got one today.
Yeah.
5 PM.
And I have no idea what we're talking about yet, but we'll find out.
Yeah, no, it's been really cool. Also, if you, look at my calendar, it seems insane because all of our internal meetings have like insane names. So it's like on Monday, it's Monday morning baseball talking businessly. And then like, I have a full day in the middle. And then at the end, it's PM cocktail hour BOGO, which I believe is because it's a half hour, but it's called cocktail hour.
Yeah.
And so it's buy one, get one.
Because it's only half an hour.
It's so silly.
Yeah. They're also all like paradoxical names. Like it's like cocktail hour BOGO is a half hour meeting. And then the meeting on Wednesday is called No Meetings Wednesday.
No meeting Wednesday and then Monday morning baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have insane meeting names, yeah. But I love it.
So we do these retros, and out of these retros is like everything that we learned that we want to do differently. So one of those things was we were like, hey, I said like, hey, you know, you guys are all doing well. One of it was actually, it goes all the way back. One of the things we realized was that I'm not scaling, because if I'm the bottleneck on product work, I have to be involved in every client, and that's kind of insane.
As do I basically at this point.
Right. And so the thought was, you know, like you asked at one point, you were like, well, how'd you get good at being a PM? And I was like, I was bad at being a PM, and I had a good boss and she gave me tons of feedback. And it was like, okay, well, I guess we all just try to do PM work, and I will like be dedicated to giving everyone feedback on their PM work every week. So then initially it was like, okay, well guys, reach out if you ever have any PM questions. And then a couple weeks later we were like, that's not really happening. Like we're not really doing asynchronous stuff there. So then it was like, great, let's just do a weekly thing. That's just a dedicated hangout where all we do is talk about product stuff. So that was a thing that came out of our retros, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, totally. And one-on-ones also came out of our retros. Uh-huh. So the guys were like, I want you to tell me if I'm doing a good job or not, and like tell me how I can grow or improve or talk about the future of my role here or whatever.
Yep.
And we're like, great, that sounds smart and reasonable. They've done that at companies I worked at. Let's have one-on-ones.
Yep.
So now every other week we each have a one-on-one with the other guy.
Yeah.
So like you have a one-on-one with Josh once a month, you have a one-on-one with Jacob once a month, and same for me.
Yep.
So these guys are getting one-on-ones to death.
They get a touch point every 2 weeks, and we do one thing every 2 weeks. And the assumption, I don't know how this has been going for you, but with Jacob, I did one with Jacob. I'm about to do mine with Josh. We we agreed, like, you have homework, which is, because the problem is with feedback, if you're not serious about it, you come into every feedback session like we did at the beginning of this podcast, where you're like, got any feedback for me? And you go like, oh, not really. I think you're doing a great job, bud. And then like, that's it. It's like, well, that's not helpful for anyone. And so what we've decided is that in those feedback sessions, like, you have homework, which is that you need to have like written something down, and you need to have a constructive thing to say. It can't all be just like glowing stuff. But importantly, I think the constructive part of it does not need to be like, oh, you let me down earlier this week, and I need to like, we need to go have like a serious, some serious confrontation about it. A lot of time, the constructive stuff is like less confrontational and more just like, oh, hey, you're on the path to being great. And one thing that I think would make that path better for you is like to do this one thing differently, or like what I said to Jacob in this past one was like, it's like, you haven't done anything wrong, but one thing I realized is like, I don't know if you've ever like typed like Laravel new into your terminal and like run your own project where you had to make all your own decisions about how you build it. And he was like, that's true. I haven't really done that. I was like, I think that that would make you a lot better. That's not like criticism. It's, but it is constructive,
And like with Josh, it was interesting because we have this project where Josh is doing like a majority of the like senioring, and he's like kind of the product, or not product, he's kind of the project lead on the project,
For
but
sure.
like that had never been like officialized, and there's all sorts of work getting done on this project, and some of it I definitely want to weigh in on before it gets merged, right? Like, I want to review the PR and do everything. Some of it is like, oh, I fixed a typo. I certainly don't care, and you can merge that without me, right? And so like Josh and I kind of like sat down and like invented a rubric for like, hey, like these are the types of PRs that you should just merge and not tell me. These are the types of PRs you should merge and then tell me. These are the types of PRs you should not merge and then ask for my input on, right? And like inventing that like took this whole thing, because like Josh had this like thing going in the back of his head, which is like, ah, I've got PRs stacking up and Daniel hasn't seen all of them yet. And now I'm like, now things are getting out of date and whatever. And I was like, oh, well, half of these PRs I don't care about. Like, just merge it, right? But some of these are important, and like it lowers the signal to noise ratio for me, which basically makes it so that when I get a message about a PR, I know it's an important PR I actually have to look at. And it takes it from getting eight messages about a PR in a given day to getting one message about a PR in a given day, which makes it way easier for me to like look at that one because I know it's the only one I need to look at, So that's been incredible, and it like totally like that dynamic in our relationship got so much simpler once we had that conversation.
Well, and that's like such an example of, I think that what's a part of what's so powerful about this, doing retros this way, is that the outcomes, the changes you make, whatever, might be totally different team to team. And I talked about it in the blog post about it. Like, there are two different teams that I was on at Binti, and the lead developer on those two teams had like radically different expectations of me. They had different work styles, different communication styles. And the two processes that we kind of organically built, again, there's vines on my desk and these things. I keep on picturing like you have the retro
You're fully
and
vine-pilled.
the vines coming off of it. But it's like the two things that just organically grew out of those were like two processes that looked completely different. And now at Thunk, we have yet another one. And even on a project by project basis, like that rubric you came up with Josh might be completely irrelevant for every other project. But it's like, don't start with a rigid idea of a process. Just like talk about things every week and solve problems as they arise.
Well, and like a great example of that is like we have two sort of big hour projects, right? Dev projects. And on one of them, it's like we should just make our best guess and implement it and show it to the client and get their feedback. And 98% of the time, what we did was perfect. And on the other one, we should absolutely not do that, because 80% of the time we are going to miss some edge case that wasn't written down, but like someone does know about it, you know? And so like in one case, it's like the approach is like do and then ask. And the other one, the process is ask and then do.
Right.
And like, it just has to be that way because of the differences in the companies, the differences in the apps. One is an existing app that's been in production for a long time that we're rebuilding. One is a greenfield thing that we're building.
Yep.
So like, they're two totally different projects, but like, because of retros, we were able to solidify that, like, in this case, the process is do, then ask. In this case, the process is ask, then do.
Yeah.
And, like, once that was solidified, it's like, oh, yeah, makes total sense. So. Yep.
I love that. There are two things with Jacob that came up, too, in a similar vein. One of them was just, like, we remembered that Jacob is a good writer. And it was like, Jacob should write more. And then out of that, Jacob wrote Verbs Docs. Which is like amazing, because it's like I would have never occurred to me to ask Jacob to write docs for a package that he didn't build, but like it ended up working out great, and the documents are like really like so much better than they were before. And there was like some real value, I think, also in having someone a little bit more junior who had used the package a lot, but like he understands how to write to an audience who is not Chris Morrell, you know?
And he also like hasn't worked on the internals of the package.
Right.
So he doesn't always necessarily know why something works. He just knows how to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like that was a great call and like a great use of his time. That was really cool. And then there was a separate part where we were like, what the other cool thing about these the retros is that you go in and like everyone has to talk and everyone says what's going well and what could improve. So like there's a dedicated time of the week every week where we say like, hey Jacob, what could improve? And one of the weeks he was like, honestly, I'm having like a terrible week, I'm kind of burned out. I'm like, you know, he had upped his hours recently, and he was like, I'm working these like really long days, and like I don't have time to take lunch breaks. And was like, and we realized like his kind of like view or like structure of a 8-hour day is like very different from what our expectations were of him. We're like, hold on,
which is like, you should take a lunch break.
We're like, describe your day for us real quick. He like described it, we're like, oh no, like that, you don't have to do that, like you should take,
he's like,
lunch
I wake
break.
Up and I put on my mining hat and I go into the code mines and then I mine away for 9 hours and I come
right
home.
And he's like, my life is like bad now, and we're like, no, don't do it like that. And it was great because it was like, it just again was a reminder that it was like, if he didn't have a place where we were like, hey Jacob, every 7 days tell us what's not working for you, I don't know if that would have come out, you know? Or it would have come out in a much bad way.
It could have come out when he quit.
Another like interesting little thing that we've learned is a lot of what comes out of these retros are like quick changes like that, where it's like, oh, just do this thing differently. Or like, oh, Daniel, you have to go send an email. But then we've also had these like evergreen things where we're like, we started like color coding the things we learn in here, which are just like using pivot tables.
This is like a principle.
Kinds of relationships. Yeah. And it's like, that's not an action we're going to take. It's more like, and so I kind of want to start writing up our like, you know, the like thunk Bible of evergreen truths.
This was something Matt always wanted at Titan, was for, to like document like the Titan way of being or whatever. And like various people took a stab at it on 20% time, but it never really like made it out of conceptual land.
That's really funny. And then I don't know, I'm just looking at the rest of these. I don't think there's too many more that are all that interesting. I don't know, anything else stand out to you from retro land?
No, I mean, I think it's been great. I think it's definitely like an incredibly powerful tool, and you know, another reminder of like why you're important here, right? It's like, this is a this is a process that we would not have if I started this company alone, right? And it's like, it's a process that like you basically like introduced and is like continuing to make the company better on a day-to-day basis, right? And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, every once in a while I think about like, oh, there's like an alternate history where I like try to start Thunk without John, right? And I'm just like, oh my God, it would have been such a fucking nightmare. like in theory, like I could have, you know, gotten all the work done and like subbed out contractors and stuff. But like trying to do like this stuff, the like sort of like retro and growth and development internally would have been so hard. Mostly, I mean, partly because like I would have just been like fully utilized on project hours 100% of the time.
Right.
But also because like you just have like a mind for this type of stuff that is really valuable.
I remember this is a, I'm going to quote you on something you said that was a little bit disingenuous to make a point, but what are the times when we've had a good, I think we've had a very
good, I know what you're gonna say,
track record with negotiation where,
oh yeah, we negotiate great.
When we negotiate, we both negotiate pretty hard, but we've set extremely clear boundaries when we negotiated with each other. When I was like, I'm going to quit my job, which pays me a lot of money to come do this, and it needs to be like a good deal for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And we would like at the beginning of the conversation be like, okay, we are now putting our negotiation hats on and we're not going to say anything hurtful, but like for the next 15 minutes, we're not friends, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it was all fair and good, but at one point, like when you were like making a point, you were like, oh, I don't know if I want to give up this much equity. You know, I could just hire a business guy for 60 grand and not give him any equity and I'd be fine. And I was just like, yeah, oh, except no, you fucking couldn't, because that's not what you're getting from me. Like, I'm not like your accountant. Like, and I was like, you will see very quickly that that's not what you're hiring here is like a quote, business guy. Yeah.
I had to give it a shot.
Like, I will fully acknowledge that I
had to cut you down to size.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the part of the negotiation that I would like hand to you and handed to you very early was like this reality, which is that you could start this business without me and I could not start this business without you. That's a reality that I'm like very comfortable with. But I was like, it's important that we like set expectations here that like, I am not I'm not the guy just sort of like making sure project deadlines are happening.
Yeah, well, I think the interesting thing is, like, now that we've been doing it for a year, basically, it's like, I could start this business without you. You couldn't start it without me. But I think you could run it without me. I don't think I could run it without you.
Yeah. Well, it is funny. Like, we've talked about the, like, you know, what happens if somebody gets hit by a bus scenarios, you know?
Yeah.
And it is weird now. It's like with, like, I mean, I don't, God forbid, I don't know, once you get hit by a bus. But it is like funny.
Sounds
like
you kind of do.
Now it's like in the community, it's sort of like, yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would continue to run the business without you, but it's like, there are people I could make phone calls to. And like, I know the Laravel community. Like, if you decided you didn't want to do this anymore, it's like, I don't know, theoretically, like, I have Josh. I'd call up a handful of other people who are great.
Yeah, you know enough people that like you could go source freelancers and you could go like drum up work now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
no, it's funny. I gave away all my secrets.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's pretty much it. I think the only other one was a good thing we learned. Well, so a next step thing that you and I are going to do, especially related to the first half of this conversation, is I kind of have a like quasi CRM cooking in Airtable where I'm like tracking every company we talk to and stuff like that. And I think you and I are going to get a little more serious about like, because you've talked about like, especially like when we go to push this thing to say like, we want a big gnarly project to go work on, two of them. You know, there's a lot of like trees you shake and like people you send that link around to. And I was like, you don't have a list. And like, I would love to get that out of your brain, onto a list somewhere. So that's something that we're going to work on. And then, I think the other thing that we learned was, coming out of Laracon India, like the reason a big part of the reason why you went to Laracon India was like you were on the war path to get to Laracon US, and like we you did it. It's like
mission accomplished.
And we were talking about the like relative expense of like in terms of like explicit cost of like ticket prices and stuff, but also the opportunity cost of you going over there.
It was probably 10 grand.
And then on the way home, you stopped by Charlotte, which is like in your backyard. And you hung out with Eric Barnes, and Eric Barnes is like, oh yeah, come on the podcast. Oh yeah, I'm doing a write up. And it's like, oh, well, that's incredibly useful. Like that just now all of a sudden we're like, oh, you could have made a quick road trip to Charlotte and it might've been more useful than a week in India.
Well, like cause like India ROI is like, no one's going to hire me in India, right? Like everyone I met in India is an agency owner who has running an agency. 70 devs, right? Like there's no one in India to like hire us at our just usurious rates. You know, to like come in and tell you how to like build software well and make like really smart, like, informed architecture decisions.
We got it, pal.
They're like, well, did you know that I cranked out 7,000 LiveWire components last week? I'm like, okay, chill, chill. So no one's going to hire us in India. Like, it's just the economics don't work. But the benefit of going to India is like, you know, building to Laracon US. And like, I did meet a bunch of agency owners in India in case I ever need to farm something out to like an army of Indian devs.
When I didn't say all that to like dunk on the India trip. It's more that like, we had this hilarious revelation at the end of it that you were like, perhaps the most useful part of my trip was my layover in Charlotte. And it was right. We can do stuff like that. That's like, you know, it's like if it costs $300 to go spend the day with Eric Barnes and buy him a steak, like that's a very well spent $300, right? Like and if, you know, the same goes for like, there's a number of people we want to be continuing to build relationships with, and like, I don't know, like a person who, there's a person who's like able to refer us a lot of business and who lives in Nashville, and like the next time I go to Chattanooga, I could spend a day going up to Nashville and buying him a steak, you know? It's like that's a,
we should be buying more people steaks.
That's the punchline here. So anyway, it's just sort of like,
wining and or dining.
We were hemming and hawing about like, what is the ROI of India? And it's like, well, there's a lot of like $300 trips we could be making to like build some serious bridges. That's like, it's one thing to send someone an email and be like, we hope we have a good relationship with you. It's another thing to like show up in Charlotte and be like, hey, let's hang out for the afternoon. So it seems like that's like a good well to go back to.
We should make a list.
Yeah. Like,
we should make a list of steaks we want to buy and go buy them.
This is going to be a second half of the year. OKR is
OKR. There's 12 steaks.
Buy 12 steaks. The OKR for the first one of them is just like have six mentor calls. The other one is like buy six people steaks.
I love it. Yeah. So we've got 5 minutes. I've got a call right after this. One thing I did want to mention is just like, so my like 2 day a week client who is doing like a big verbs thing, that's like a big technical advising pairing thing, starts this week.
Yeah.
So Tuesday, Thursday are that client. Friday is Glitch, which is like a full day of pairing and programming most times. I cannot tell you how tired I was at the end of Friday. Like, it was just one of those days where it was just like a big long pairing session. I'm interested to see, you know, I've got like 6 weeks booked of this like 2 days a week thing. I'm interested to see if at the end of the 6 weeks I have like adapted to this much pairing, or if I am a shell of a human being.
You're working very hard right now.
I'm working. Well, I mean, I just got back from India. Don't break your arm patting me on the back.
Sure.
But, but yeah, I'm like, I'm about to be working very hard for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I think leading up to it, you were doing a fair amount too. But yeah, I mean,
I was. Yeah, yeah.
With this whole like me casually mentioning earlier, like April's going to be our biggest month ever. It's like,
doesn't come for free.
And it could be. I mean, one of the cool things that's also interesting about this business that we always think about is like, we've always had this mindset. I think we're pretty aligned that like, if a quote bad month, scare quotes, came along, it's not ideal for the bottom line, but like if it led to a situation where it's just like, oh, we simply don't have the work this month, so we're each gonna basically go part-time, maybe pay mm-hmm. ourselves a little bit less, and then we'll bounce back the following month, it's like,
yeah,
that's not such a bad outcome. And like, if
yeah,
especially on the heels of like, if we have an insane April and you're like ready for a break, it's just kind of interesting and weird how like we could do that. It's another thing that we couldn't do if we had investors.
Well, and like also like say we put out the like two projects for the next 6 months page. We have people reach out and we land like our two Golden Goose projects and they both start end of May.
Right.
Right. It's like, fine.
Great.
Great. Love it. May is a chill. It's my birthday month.
Yeah. My birthday month. Oh my goodness. I just like
be 33 years old. What's wrong with me?
Something my inner Larry David just like screamed out from inside of me. I'm like, birthday month. No birthday month.
Oh, hell yeah.